Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. What if there were no resurrection? What if, in fact, Christ was never raised from the dead? Paul deals with these questions in the first 19 verses of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. First, he sets out what makes a Christian in verses 1 through 11. And so we want to consider tonight what, in fact, must you believe in order to be a Christian? What you must believe to be a Christian. A concise summary in verses 1 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 15. There are really only two significant principles or points or truths that you need to grasp in order to be a Christian. We used to discuss in college and in seminary how much knowledge is necessary for a person actually to experience God's grace and salvation. How much does one need to know? I had related that in my own conversion experience, I was not even aware that I was being converted. I was not aware of all the great theological intricacies. Even the terminology was strange to my ears, but the reality of the experience was present. How much knowledge is needed? The first thing Paul says is that you must believe in the historical facts of the gospel in order to be saved. He says that in verses 3 and 4. That is almost a foregone conclusion, and yet even today there are people who do not believe that. Just this past week I heard a friend of mine relating to me that he had been visiting in a church on visitation evangelism night. A couple had visited their church, and so he was returning the call. And for some 4 hours past midnight, he was in that home going over the gospel. And what brought it all on was the fact that as this person expressed an interest in coming to this particular church and joining the church, he finally confessed, after some questioning by my friend, he said, "You know, I'm really not even sure that Jesus even lived." And so this friend had a great opportunity to share Christ, and yet here is a first step toward experiencing true faith, and that is acceptance of the historical fact of the gospel. What are these facts? Verses 3 and 4, these facts are personal. Look in verse 3, it says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ," it's talking about a person, "indeed he was God, indeed he was the God-man, but he was a person, an individual with personality." These facts are personal, and these facts are also few, however. It says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You don't have to believe a great deal of historical facts, but you do have to believe a basic minimum of truth of historical facts in order to be a Christian. When you say Christ, It isn't enough just to say, I believe in Christ. One must also say, what do you believe about Christ? I once asked a member, a pastor of another denomination, wondering whether they used the Apostles' Creed in their service, and I queried that. And he said, we have no creed but Christ. As if to say, one can believe in Jesus and yet not have a doctrine about Jesus. There are some things one must affirm that he either believes or he does not. One does not just believe in a word or an entity, Jesus, without also having content to that belief. And so the facts may be few, but they are facts, and they must be affirmed by those who would experience true faith. But these facts are well attested, and Paul points that out in verses 4 through 8. The facts of his death, of his burial, of his resurrection. As he says, beginning in verse 5, that he appeared to Cephas. And then he goes on to list those whom Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. To Cephas, to the 12, to the 500, to James, to all the apostles, and then finally, sixthly, to me. That is, to the Apostle Paul. So that what he says in essence is that you must believe in the historical facts of the gospel. These facts are personal. These facts are but few, but these facts are well attested. These facts are well attested by Scripture that Christ died for our sins, as he says in verse 4, according to the Scripture. In other words, the gospel was being revealed according to a plan. The death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the burial of Christ, it was all God's purpose. You'll look in Acts 2:23. We read these words. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Some time ago, I read a book on the will of God by a minister, not a Presbyterian. The title of the book was The Will of God by Leslie D. Weatherhead. It was, without a doubt, the worst book that I have ever read on the will of God in my life. Dr. Weatherhead had the audacity to suggest that it was not the ultimate purpose and will of God for Jesus to die upon the cross. That is cultic in its dimensions. We have just read in Acts 2:23 that it was God's determined purpose before the foundation of the world that his Son would be delivered up for you. It was attested by Scripture. It was attested, that is, these facts attested by Scripture, by witnesses, and then finally, Paul says, these facts were attested by my own individual private experience. Perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest, argument for the reality of Christianity are Christians and the change that was wrought in the apostles themselves from the resurrection, from the crucifixion of Christ, and their depression, their fear, their scattering, and 3 days later, 40 days later, when they received the Holy Spirit and were sent into all the world. So Paul says that my own experience is to convince you of the reality of Jesus Christ. That is a mystical argument, perhaps. And we used to use it in college. And talking to someone and trying to convince him of the reality, you'll just have to experience it for yourself. And so you will. There is a reality to that. There is a dimension to that. The life-changing power of the gospel of Christ is itself a great testimony of the reality of the living and resurrected Christ. Is that reality an experience in your own life? Can you say, yes, I know Christ is alive? I know that you say it historically. I know that you have studied the doctrine. And that is not what I'm asking. I am asking, is Jesus Christ a day-by-day reality in your living experience? Paul says, that is the testimony that I'm giving to you. That I was changed by a living Christ. And now I have Him as the landlord, as the king, as the master of my life. Is He your master? Paul says that. Those are some historical facts. Those are some facts that you must believe. That is the fact of Christ's death. The fact that He was indeed really dead. He was buried. The fact that He was raised from the dead. Those are historical truths. You can see the evidence of it, he says, in all of these appearances and in my own experience. But there is a second main truth that you must grasp in order to be a Christian. You must grasp not only the reality of the historicity of the facts of the gospel, but you must also believe in the design of the gospel. And that is indicated in verse 3, where Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died," and then the design of the gospel, "for our sins." You must not only believe in the reality, the historical fact, but also believe that He died for your sin. One has only to look into the moral law of God in God's perfect regulations. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. To be convinced of the inadequacy of your life to measure up to His perfect standard. And so God figured out a way as to how you can find acceptance in His sight, and that is by sending His Son, who would live a perfect life under the law of God and then die in your place and for you, so that His perfection was accepted on your behalf. And now you are cleansed, and now you have the possibility of being accepted fully, just as pure as the Lord Jesus is Himself. What a thought. Christ's work on the cross was foretold. I'm saying that you need to believe not only in the fact of the gospel. You must believe in the design of the gospel. And that design was foretold 800 years at least. And more, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 says this about the one who is to come. "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And then listen to this in verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging we are healed. And verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. What I am saying is just sheer gospel facts. And that is that Jesus Christ really lived, and that he really died, and that the design of his life and death was to save you if you're trusting in him, if you have embraced him as your Savior. He died for our sins, for you.